Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And today begins a run of 5 straight days. We have playoff football today. Starts the semifinals of the college football playoff. Notre Dame, Penn State tonight. Tomorrow will be Texas and Ohio State. And then the NFL playoffs begin Saturday and continue on to Sunday and Monday. Very, very excited. Cannot wait. Josh, this is really what I care about. The last month or so has been a drag outside of the college football playoff. Thankfully, I am a Texas fan where I had meaningful football. Because for a month or so, I was just come on. let's go. And I mean that for every team. I like just watching NFL playoff football. And there's a lot of games I want to watch this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope the Bills don't botch this so I'm all footballed out and want to just take a break.
Fun Bills news. I don't know if you just saw this. 5 minutes ago, they announced the legend of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
I have not.
Take a guess. I think you can get it. The anniversary of something just passed, and he was an integral part of that.
Frank Reich.
No. Close. Not actually close. In year-wise. Sorry, never mind.
Who is it?
Kyle Williams.
Kyle Williams, nice.
Oh, I
nice.
That one.
Kyle
said,
Williams, legend of the game.
You said anniversary, I thought of...
The Drought Breakers.
Yeah.
I mean, that was last week, so...
I like that one.
Yeah, this is great. I love it. Sorry.
I'm not always huge on the...
I got excited for a second there while you were talking about college football because I just saw this pop up on my feed. So.
I'm not always the biggest legend of the game guy, namely because I don't ever really see their reactions to the crowd. So I'm they're going to be there. Cool. I very rarely see when they're hyping up the crowd. I love Kyle, though. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
One of my favorite reactions.
He'll get him going.
Is him reacting to them finally getting into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. But yeah, the playoffs are going to be starting on Saturday. The college football playoff semifinals will start tonight. And then continue on through tomorrow night. I can't wait. I want to jump more into Sneaky Joe's poll as well. Who do you have more confidence in for the Bills to beat, the Ravens at home or the Chiefs on the road in what would be the AFC Championship game? I think that's a fun conversation. We'll also jump through more of these playoff games, kind of give love to the rest of them. This is our last day on this week. Cannot wait. I think there's a lot of fun storylines as well. We were talking with Sneaky Joe's, who's on his way out. About some of these storylines that are coming through. Mike Tomlin, if he loses this week, not winning a playoff game in 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
You keep not being below 500, but what are you actually doing kind of deal?
Right.
And I think that's a real fun conversation if they lose. Look, man, you've been awesome, but we've got to do something different.
And at that point, too, if you're the Steelers and you don't make a change, if there's a loss, that's just – I don't even know who to compare them to because you that's so many years of inactivity and so many years of just looking at the same results and thinking it'll be different next time and not making a change. Confusing. Because sure, you get to the playoffs, but it's going to be a disappointment every single time. That's just
Well, yeah, it stops being exciting when, like, every year you're like, oh, cool, we're a 7.5-point underdog. We're a 9.5-point underdog. Yeah. This year we're a 10.5-point underdog. It's like, oh, great. Like, why are we still doing this? I on his way out, I was telling Joe, you know, if it happened to happen, like, let's say they lose on Sunday, blown out by the Ravens, whatever.
Even just a loss, like a close loss.
They lose again, and it's like, okay, we've gone through another year of this. That should be the dream job of Ben Johnson.
Yes,
if Mike Tomlin were to be fired, what organization gives you more legroom than the Steelers? They've had like four coaches ever.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much of this is recency bias, kind of, because we've only, like, you and I have basically only seen Mike Tomlin for our entire lives.
Most people have only seen Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
That's
it. But my point there is like, are they going to stick with that trend for the next guy, or are they going to start to change things
up? That's the Steeler way. It's the Rooney way. I mean, that's what they do. And I think it's actually very successful. Their biggest problem has been they haven't evolved really to their next coach.
Well,
I think if you got Ben Johnson in there, the Steelers already have one of the best talent developing and scouting departments in the entire NFL. They always have talent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not at the quarterback, but they've always had very good talent. There's always a guy or two on those teams that you're like, that's one of the best players at their whatever position.
Mm-hmm.
You get Ben Johnson in there, maybe kind of like flounder for a year, go get a quarterback. You've got George Pickens. Maybe you move off from him. But
again, well, if you get Ben Johnson, though, like, you could easily say to George Pickens, like, hey, we got your offensive guy, and we're going to try to work with, let's say, Justin Fields. But if that doesn't work, we'll get you a quarterback next year.
We're going to the next guy. And you don't have that fear, Ben Johnson doesn't, of I'm going to get fired in 3 years if I don't figure this out.
Right, yeah. And I think, too, like, the way that they do it, in terms of, you know, keeping coaches and giving them like runway to just figure things out and giving them resources to figure things out, that part of it I don't think is outdated. I think that's actually pretty smart. So long as you can identify that this coach is going to be good right away. Like if right away Ben Johnson goes in there, right? Like your theory or your hypothetical, whatever you want to call it. Let's say he goes there and right away you can tell, like, yes, he's going to be a good head coach, but it's going to take him some time to, like, basically accumulate assets to make his team better. Then is when you say, okay, we're going to stick with our same plan. We're going to evolve in terms of how we play the game, but we're not going to evolve in terms of, you know, rushing our coaches in and out.
Because
that's something that they don't need to really change off of, as long as they're identifying if the coach is good or not. If they go in there, Ben Johnson looks terrible, and they're like, yeah, no, he'll be fine, then that's a problem. Like, that's where you have to say, okay, everyone has to take a step back and look at the big picture here. But in this case, if Tomlin loses on Sunday, or they play
Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. Okay.
Bills are actually the first AFC wild card. They're the last AFC. Sorry, they play Saturday. The Bills are the last AFC wild card game, and they play at 1 on Sunday.
Yeah, which is kind of a wild schedule slate. But anyway, but if, let's say he goes out and loses, and Not even Ben Johnson, just anybody goes in to Pittsburgh next year, that ownership group and just everyone involved has to be able to go in and with an open mind and just say, look, this is the direction we want. This is, you can take the direction wherever you want. We'll give you all the resources. And that part of it, just, you kind of have to continue this.
And I think they will.
This idea.
They have shown to be very flexible. They move with the coaches. And yeah, look, the Steelers wouldn't have Steelers ownership if they really want to stick to defense. They really wouldn't have much of a leg to stand on. You'd be firing Tomlin after not winning a playoff game since 2016. You know, your last Super Bowl was, what, 2008?
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like if you do fire Tomlin and still want to bring in a defensive guy, it's just a different – you just basically say you want a different voice, right? Like, that's – because, I mean, there's a reason why these Tomlin teams keep losing. I mean, part of it is on some of the teams that are just not that good.
Mm-hmm.
Other parts are people are learning his systems. They can't score. Like, there's all these different aspects of it where you can have a defensive head coach like the Bills and still be an offensive juggernaut. Mm-hmm. Like, there's ways to do that. And if the Steelers want that, that's great, because that's not what Mike Tomlin has ever been, really. I mean, even in the Ben Roethlisberger days, sure, there'd be days and games and seasons where Roethlisberger would go crazy and their offense would be great.
It was more later in his career, though. Early in his career, we're going to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Ben's going to make a few big plays. I mean, it was very successful for them at the time.
But
you saw, too, when they went to the triple Bs of Brown, Bell, and Roethlisberger, they failed a lot against the Patriots.
Yeah.
That was their big, kind of boogeyman. They could not get past Patriots team. And you could argue the Steelers at the time were more talented.
Yeah.
But if I think it's time for a new voice. I like Tomlin a lot. I will say, though, he probably is one of the last coaches I'd want to coach my favorite football team for the sheer fact of, as young as he is not very innovative when it comes to going on fourth down, not punting, going for touchdowns rather than field goals.
He's very safe. He plays it extremely safe.
He plays it very old school, which is kind of weird for a guy as young as he is and for how young he was when he got into the league.
What's his coaching tree?
I don't necessarily know in terms of like guys that he's had move on. I mean, he's kind of
where he came from.
William and Mary. I know that only because him and Sean McDermott, I think, were roommates.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
But Tomlin was the defensive coordinator for the Vikings for a year in 2006. That's what eventually got him the job. But he was a DB's coach for a number of years with Cincinnati and Tampa before that. Gotcha. Tampa Bay spent the longest amount of time.
I'm just thinking because, you look at guys like, Robert Saleh under Kyle Shanahan and everything like that, like looking at like the past pedigree of like who they coached under first, and maybe that would lead you to why Tomlin is so conservative in his play. But I think that, like I said, if they want to stick with defense, like it's fine, but they have to go out and get someone as an offensive coordinator to really innovate things and change things, because it's fine if you have a good defensive mind, again, like the Bills with Sean McDermott. You just have to make sure that your offensive mind is just as good.
Yeah. The only reason I bring up the Steelers, too, is they feel like a team that won't – I'm sorry. They feel like the only team that could make a move if they don't win. Like, if the Bills lose in the divisional round, McDermott's still here. If they lose in the wild card round, McDermott's still here. I mean, we talk a lot about, comparing him to early years Andy Reid. Reid took 4 straight years of not winning a playoff game. 2 of those years not even making the playoffs, eventually a 4-12 season got him fired in Philadelphia. I think McDermott's more than earned kind of that staying power as well. He's been in a more talented AFC. He's won 5 straight AFC championships. He's won 5 straight AFC East championships. So I think he's earned that right to stay after maybe 1 or 2 bad playoff exits. Where, Baltimore, kind of the same, like Harbaugh has a Super Bowl. Like those guys stay forever. You can argue like they've got like a lifetime contract after that. Tampa, they're not going to – I don't imagine they're going to get rid of Todd Bowles to keep someone like Liam Cohen, their offensive coordinator. It does just feel like the only guy who could get fired after an early playoff exit is Tomlin. And even then, I'm kind of more just saying it because of their past failures. I have no idea if Pittsburgh's even debating it. They probably aren't, if we're being honest, based on their history.
Because if you look at all the teams – I mean, the only other one I think might be up there is Houston, just because of how quickly it's like gone from, wow, this team is great, let's keep building, and then boom – like, whoa, what happened? How are we barely in the playoffs? And like, we're expected to be a home team loser, like by everybody.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's, I mean, sure, I don't know. I don't know what the spread is, but sure. Like maybe Houston has the spread over LA, but I'm pretty sure.
Favored.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let me check that real quick. I believe the Chargers are favored.
But if you think about it, like, I'm pretty sure even if they aren't favored, like most people will pick the Chargers to beat the Texans, like without a doubt, because it just nothing seems to be going right in Houston in terms of what they had last year. Like if you compare last year to this year, it's like 2 different teams.
The Chargers are 2.5-point road favorite.
Wow.
I mean, you're right though. Like what has happened in Houston has not been great. 2 of their top 3 receivers are out for the year. Diggs was already on the back end of 30, so like there's a real fear that he probably won't be that guy. I mean, they only had him on a 1-year contract.
Right.
Tank Dell, that's a really bad injury for him again. Nico Collins is great. CJ Stroud though is taking a pretty big step back. Bobby Slowick, their OC, has taken a huge step back to the point where it was Ben Johnson, then Slowick, and you're like, those are the 2 guys. Gone. Slowick's not even conversations anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been a disaster. Yeah, this coming off of FanDuel. Pittsburgh's a 9.5-point underdog. Denver's an 8.5-point underdog. Green Bay, 4.5. Washington, 3.
Green Bay, really?
Yeah. Green Bay's been bad against winning teams.
That's true.
And then also, and I heard Joe bring this up too earlier today, the Jordan Love elbow injury. Not being able to really grip the football, don't really know what's going on there. He's just talking about, like, I hope I can play or I'm hopeful I'll play, rather than, like, yeah, I'll play. Like, Tua with his hip injury, the team was telling you, I don't know if he's going to play, but he's I'll play. Love's been like, I hope so. That'd be great. So, I mean, now I will say, though, Adam Schefter just tweeted this out, too. Hembo, who's the kind of like the trivia guy on Get Up and stuff like that.
Yep.
Underdogs, 69 to 105 all time on wild card weekend, an average of 1.5 upsets per season. At least one underdog has won a game in the wild card round in 40 of the 46 seasons dating back to 1978. But these are some pretty darn big spreads.
Yeah. No, like, I mean,
you wonder most Houston, of them. Houston has technically the advantage seed wise, but is it maybe Houston? I mean, are we going to give that much faith to the Chargers already with Harbaugh? I mean, I'm somebody that would argue yes.
Because the Chargers, like, they seem like a different team with basically the same people. There wasn't much turnover there. Like, you still have Quentin Johnston as one of the top wide receivers over there, and he can't catch a ball to save his life. But now
last week he could, though.
Yeah, like, all of a sudden he's kind of like, I'm not saying he's perfect or fixed or whatever, but all of a sudden he's not as bad anymore. Ladd McConkey's been great out of the draft, and J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are seemingly turning back the clock and
they're doing,
you know,
well,
doing what they need to do. So I'm not saying, like, you know, they're completely fixed or anything, but Harbaugh has definitely made a big difference.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I think even if it wasn't, like, any team would be in the position the Chargers are if they were playing the Texans. Even the Broncos, I would say. Maybe not favored, but the Broncos would probably be, like, talked about as the favorite. Like, it would be just as close for the Texans. But it's just nothing seems right in Houston right now. So I feel like any team that would be going up against them right now would be favored against them, even if it's a home game. Like, yeah. It's just one of those years for Houston. And, you know,
it's not good.
I mean, you see teams like that every year where they, like, you know, get in as the divisional winner because the division's bad, but you can tell nothing's going right for them. I mean, Pittsburgh was kind of like this a few seasons ago.
Philadelphia last year.
Yeah.
I want to check. I can't remember if they won the division or not. They did not. They came in second, but that was when they went on, what, like a 7-8 game losing streak to end the year?
Yeah. Yeah, because they beat the Bills and then they lost
They lost five of the last six.
Okay.
But they looked terrible going in, and then they were blown out by Tampa Bay 32-9 in the wild card. Yeah, that was right, because then Dallas ultimately took the division, and then they also got blown out in the wild card round.
At home by Green Bay.
But there's a few games I really like this weekend. There are big spreads, but if Jordan Love plays, I think that game could wind up being pretty close. Probably around the spread, about 4.5, 5 points. And I like Pittsburgh against Baltimore. Not necessarily to win, but I think 9.5, 8.5 point spreads in an NFL playoff game, I feel like those are sucker bets. I really do. I just don't think they're going to be blowouts. And I've said it with the Bills in Denver. Like, I like their defense. I just don't see Bo Nix being able to be the first rookie quarterback, to win a road playoff game since 2012 against Josh Allen. I just don't see it. Because even when Russell Wilson did that, he was playing another rookie who left early to what effectively became a career-ending injury.
Yeah.
Essentially became a career-ending injury for Robert Griffin III.
And that game wasn't even ever close, because even though in that game Washington went out really early, it was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter, like halfway through the first quarter, and then it was just Seattle the rest of the way.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, RG3's out.
No, RG3 didn't leave till the fourth quarter.
He didn't leave till the fourth quarter. Wow.
Yeah. Halfway through the fourth quarter is when he got hurt. They just got nothing done for the rest of the game.
Oof.
Yeah. It was just a bad game.
Yeah. 24-14. Seahawks won that. And then that was kind of it. I mean, that was the high point for RG3 Washington era, was getting to the playoffs, being the rookie of the year, being arguably that year better than Andrew Luck and even Russell Wilson, a fellow rookie.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's tough to win road playoff games. It's why Mark Sanchez, I joke all the time, should get more credit than he has, because he won a lot of road playoff games. Lamar Jackson has not won a road playoff game yet. Josh Allen has not. Joe Burrow has. I believe Mahomes has as well, because of last year. Yep. But it's tough to win on the road. And I'm supposed to now expect Bo Nix is going to come in as a massive underdog into Buffalo and win the Bills. They've had their playoff failures. It's been in the next round. It's been in the divisional round. I can't see it. I know people are worried about the defense. I know there's also some worries, too, about, like, even like the everyone eats. Are they going to be able to score against this defense? Look, the upset could happen. And to Adam Schefter's, you know, stat that he pulled out from Hembo, it's about 1.5 per year. I just don't see it being the Bills. I just don't.
Who do you see it being?
That's fun.
Because there are...
I think Washington, Tampa.
Ooh.
I like Tampa. I like Baker Mayfield a lot. They are too hot and cold for me. And Washington just kind of is playing with this. If the game is close, we're going to win in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
They have got that feeling to them.
I honestly
like Jaden Daniels a lot. The problem is, though, that's another one that's on the road. It's a rookie on the road. So I don't really love that. It's probably, if we're going solely off of seeding, probably Chargers over Houston. If it's solely off of seeding, which I think this is more what it is, it's based off of seeding, I think it'll be Chargers over Houston.
Well, he does continue on. He just added this one more underdog note per, let's see, Evan Kaplan, also in ESPN. Home underdogs are 16-14 outright all-time in wildcard playoffs, and both home underdogs won last season, Texans and the Buccaneers. The Texans and Rams are both underdogs at home this weekend.
I could see the Rams losing two to
Minnesota. I could, yeah. But I could also, like, you know, we were just talking about, to go back to Ravens Steelers for a second, I really could see the Steelers pulling something out. Like, as
I don't know if it'll necessarily be a win, but I could see them making them sweat right to the end.
I don't know. I think it could be actually pretty close, because I think, you know, we always see playoff Lamar, and that's always been a conversation. Now, we obviously don't know if that's going to happen this year, but it's happened every other year. So it's conceivable that it could happen again. And the Ravens don't play the Steelers well, ever.
No,
except for a couple times.
Even this last one, they didn't particularly play that well. It ends 34-17, but it was 17-17 late in the third.
Yeah.
And there's a Russell Wilson fumble near the goal line.
Right. So if you
early in the game, he has a pick six in that as well.
You eliminate a couple mistakes and it's a very different
outcome. You
kind of
got him. Yeah, you kind of
so
have him.
So I'm not too sure that the Ravens are just going to walk away with it. But it kind of depends on the Steelers team that shows up that day, because if the Steelers show up like they did in previous times against the Ravens, then it's going to be a real close game.
There was also this feeling, too, in that game. So Baltimore took a 17-7 lead. It's Pittsburgh that kind of marches back, kick a field goal right at the end of the half, score in the third to make it 17-17. It's Andrews' touchdown catch from Lamar to make it 24-17, and then it's the interception that kind of seals it. There's still a little bit left in the third, or excuse me, in the fourth, but that's kind of what seals it. You're right. I mean, like, you take a few mistakes out. Number one, that fumble by the goal line, they at least get a field goal out of that. I mean, there's a few things in here that make that a different game. And that's where, yeah, it's tough for me to even take the, what was it, like a 9.5-point spread for the Ravens? It's tough for me to even take that. It really is, just because these teams play really close. And one of the best receivers for Lamar is going to be out, Zay Flowers. He has not practiced 2 days in a row. He's not playing. And even if he does, no, it's not going to happen. And George Pickens did not play this game for the Steelers. He's back this time. I think he does. He allows them to make some plays that they just can't normally. And Flowers has been one of the most reliable pass catchers for Lamar in a very, very great season for him. So I think that game's going to be pretty darn close, just because, again, it's the divisional matchups, and Pittsburgh typically plays Baltimore very well, even when there is a huge talent difference, namely at quarterback. 803-0550, the number two call. We'll get more on the Bills. The injury report came out yesterday in a walkthrough with Sal Capaccio at 11:30. We'll also get his thoughts on some of these playoff games coming up. And if you want to share your thoughts on Bills-Denver, maybe even look ahead, Bills potentially Baltimore, or just on the rest of the wild card round, love to hear your thoughts. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For me, the only way this turns into a game is if the Bills become uncharacteristically sloppy with the football. I went back and watched last year's Broncos game. And for anybody that's done that, it's pretty easy within the first 10 minutes of the condensed watch to realize that was a just completely different team that just didn't take care of the football.
There is Matt Parrino. He's on earlier today with Jeremy and Joe. You can listen back to all of our interviews on the Odyssey app using the Rewind feature or on our website, WGR550.com. And yeah, I mean, using last year's game, I don't think is a great litmus test for either of these teams. It's a different quarterback for Denver. Bo Nix has been a very, very talented rookie quarterback. And then also, I think that's a big reason why Ken Dorsey was fired is that this team just turned the ball over too much. Now, this year, they don't. Listener tweets in, Josh goes through the last four or goes through some of these teams that Denver played and just kind of how bad their defense did. Ravens, Browns, Chargers, Bengals, all of them put 30 plus on Denver since November. Denver's 1-3 of those games. They did beat the Browns, but for as great of a defense as they're getting credit for, and they should, I mean, they get after the quarterback better than anyone else in the league. They have one of the best cornerbacks in football. You do look at that and it is a little stark that Denver, they seemingly only beat the bad teams. Their best win is probably just going through it. Tampa Bay, week three, they beat Tampa Bay 26-7.
Yeah, but we look back at the schedule a lot and we see wins within the first month of the year. I'm not discounting it, but at the same time, you kind of have to.
You have to sort of discount it. You're a different football team.
It's a completely different team at the beginning of the season. I mean, look at like the Bills. We talked about this yesterday when we were talking about the Ravens, how much they've changed since week four. I mean, you and I have talked about playing the Ravens again and thinking the Bills have a good chance at it, which I still think they do, but the defense for the Ravens is much, much different than what we saw in week four. And obviously the Bills team is a lot different too. So like everyone changes throughout the season by trades, by players getting hurt or not hurt. Like, It's all relative, but at the same time, it's not because you're a different team.
I think it is a good point though to bring up that, you know, their defense has in some ways gotten cooked by teams in the last bit here. It is tough to not look at the Kansas City game and go, man, like that 38-0, like they really whooped them. As many backups as they could.
It's not
and
that.
And there was a lot of, you know, other circumstances there where, you know, they couldn't leave Kansas City for a while because of the weather there. And then there was a lot more going on there. And again, it just didn't matter. Kansas, Denver, you could argue, had to throw everything in the kitchen sink at that game to make sure they won it because they didn't do their job in the last few games. From the bye, they are 2-2. They had a late bye week, week 14. They beat the Colts. They beat the backups of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They lost to Denver. They lost at Cincinnati. Or excuse me, they lost to the Chargers. They lost at Cincinnati.
Well, and even like when you look at the Kansas City game, Denver gets up quick, but it's one of those things where it's like they kept going just because they kind of needed to for a little while. And I'm not someone that looks at that game and goes, you know, man, they really beat up Kansas City. Because you got it, like, anyone out there that thinks that, just remember, nobody played for Kansas City. Literally, like, Carson Wentz got sacked 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
It was never going to be a game. And they left late. Like you said, they had the whole issues with like the storms and everything. Mm-hmm. There was nothing about that game that Kansas City wanted any part of. So no one out there should be using this game as any sort of litmus test because there's nothing there that shows me to be scared of them.
The further the week has gone on, the more I look at the spread and I'm just like, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Again, look, they could lose on Sunday. I don't want to like make it sound like I'm overconfident. But again, are we really sitting here expecting Bo Nix against Josh Allen to become the first rookie quarterback to win on the road since 2012? Like, that is a big thing for me.
Yeah.
Like, Daniels, I could see it.
Right.
Against Baker Mayfield, against Tampa Bay, who has had moments. Look at their last game to win the division in a must-win playoff game. They were up and down against a bad Saints team.
Yeah, I mean,
eventually pulled away.
There's special rookie quarterbacks out there. I'm not saying Bo Nix isn't special, but you have to be, you know, something. Like, there's guys out there that could do it, but they're not in good situations. Drake May, I think, would be a rookie quarterback that could have done it, but he's not in a good situation. He's an incredible talent. He has nothing around him.
Yeah, he's in a bad spot.
Right, but if you put him on a playoff team and you say, yeah, he's a rookie quarterback coming to your stadium, I'm nervous.
I think as well, like, too, you look at the team that last did it before Russell Wilson. It's the 2009 Jets with Mark Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Even their win, it's at the Bengals against Carson Palmer, who's kind of getting towards the end of his career there. They go 10-6. They weren't particularly a great team either. That's kind of like how that ended for them, is they just could never get over the hump. They were never a team that could win in the playoffs. The Bills have shown they can. They have frustrating losses, don't get me wrong, but they do win games in the playoffs. They have made it to an AFC Championship game. They regularly win at least a wild card game. And even then, Cincinnati, that 2009 season, is not one of his best, Carson Palmer's best.
Mm-hmm.
Just over 60 completion percentage, just over 3,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, 13 picks. That's easily his worst, outside of his rookie, effectively his rookie year, because he didn't play in 03, easily his worst season as a Bengal. In terms of yards, in terms of touchdowns, everything. Outside of, you know, his rookie year where he didn't play, and then 08 where he played 4 games. So even then, it's kind of one of those things, like, do you imagine that Bo Nix will out-duel Josh Allen?
No. Not with what he has in front of him. I don't think it's possible. I mean, you don't have nearly as much talent. You don't have nearly as much talent personally, too. Like, again, Bo Nix is going to be a good quarterback, but he's not there yet.
Yeah,
he doesn't have anyone to throw the ball to. He doesn't have a running back to hand the ball off to. And I really think that the defense might have a good day against him. I think they might go out there and get after him early. That's going to be the game plan, is to rattle him, make him one-dimensional, make him...
Yeah, we talked with Sal about this, where it's like, if you can go through like one or two drives where like they're just not right and the Bills are able to put up 7-10 points or whatever, you immediately make them one-dimensional. They're not even a good running team. You did that to Detroit.
Yeah,
with when they had Jahmyr Gibbs and, for a little while, healthy David Montgomery. He ultimately does get hurt in that game. But you had him immediately chasing the game. Denver doesn't have a run game that they can lean on, that they're like, we don't have to abandon it. We're good in it. No, they don't. And it's just, you know, when they needed to win games late in the year, they weren't doing it. They were not doing it on the road. They finally do it when they play a bad Chiefs team, because it was all backups and a Chiefs team that did not care. They were just, get us to the playoffs. We have bye week next week. Great. Just get us to that. Keep us healthy. That's when they were finally able to punch their ticket. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones. And Luke is first up today. Luke, how are we doing today?
from the guy who lived here.
Yeah.
Y'all just get some stuff out the yard.
You have?
Luke is not there. But for everything that's going on, like, I guess this week, it does also feel like Bills-Denver is the least interesting playoff game. It feels like it's the least interesting. It feels like every time I turn on national talk shows or whatever, it's the only time it gets interesting is if you totally believe Denver's going to beat them.
Well, and
everything else has a storyline. It's a divisional game. It's two teams that haven't won a playoff game in a while or kind of like leaning that way. Bills-Denver, it's like, Denver's really interesting. I mean, like, they could be cool in a few years, but they're a 9.5-point underdog, 8.5-point underdog.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing for Denver is it's their first playoff game in 9 years. I mean, that's something, but it's not really anything for us. And in terms of a Buffalo standpoint, it's, well, this is the first game of hopefully a good run.
Yeah.
But like, I was going to try to say, you know, maybe Steelers-Ravens just because of the fact that, like, you know, it could be one of those games where it's just kind of boring because either Baltimore is going to get out early and, you know, throttle them, or the Steelers are going to somehow be really good on defense and it's going to be like a 7-10 game.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the only way I could see it being boring. But even then you're still talking about all of the storylines and stuff that would happen after the loss. So yeah, I think this is kind of like the only, you know, nothing preseason game. And I'm not saying that because, like, you know, I don't want to sound exactly like that because I guess I don't want to, like, look past Denver, right? Because whenever you do that, then it's – you kind of get the rug pulled out from under you. You know what I mean? Like, but at the same time, everywhere else is
there's
pretty
at least
exciting.
Something interesting. There's something to sell you on. This is – I mean, maybe there's an upset. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Everything seems to be pointing to – even in the national media, though, it's like, but we all kind of want to see Baltimore and Buffalo in round two. That's what you want to see.
Green Bay-Philly, I think, also is kind of one of these games. Because if Jalen Hurts plays, I think it's pretty much just
– See, but even then, like, Green Bay with Matt LaFleur, I think they have a coaching advantage there. They've been close
in
these games.
But
they
Jordan Love is – if he's hurt isn't –
Yeah,
then,
no, I agree. Yeah, if it's Malik Willis playing for Green Bay, that game's over with.
Well,
for right now, though,
Green Bay did win games with Malik Willis.
They did. They never could beat like any of the good teams.
No.
But it's a rematch for the game in Brazil in Week One. If they can get it going, if you know, with Josh Jacobs, and if Love is able to make a few big plays, look, it was not that long ago. We're talking about Hurts not being able to put a passing game together, and then he was out for a concussion with a concussion for a while. So there's maybe something there. It's just get through this week, and then it feels like the real storylines start.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stumble in. And the vibes on this team have been better.
Yeah.
I meant it. Going into this postseason, this has been the best I've felt since 2020. The vibes are really good. It seems like the coaches are more relaxed. It doesn't feel like they're so wound up as tight as they have been. And then there's records that the Bills have broken. I've got it right here. NFL on Prime Video tweeted this out yesterday. Touchdowns, 65, a franchise record. 525 points scored, a franchise record. They're 8-0 at home, third time in franchise history. They are playing really, really well. And when they play together as a team, when the whole machine is moving, they can run teams over. They can absolutely run teams over. And they've done it against the Chiefs, and they've done it against Detroit, the two best teams in their respective conferences. They have put them away. They made them one-dimensional. They made them chase the entire game, and they were able to just kind of breeze by. One was on the road, one was at home. Did they lose to the Bengals and they lose to the Texans? Yes. But in the late bit of the season, since the bye, they have been awesome. And they have just put teams away. And they've gotten to the point where we were sitting here for 3 weeks going, I don't know, just win one of these games so we can, like, officially wrap up the two seed, but we're pretty much done. I mean, it's kind of what it's become. The last 3 weeks, almost a month, has been just win one of these games so we can wrap this up. And then they did, and they were fine. Do they have a little bit of a scare against New England? Sure. But I took Josh Allen at his word. It's tough to kind of balance showing everything to win these games, but then knowing, we got the playoffs coming up. We don't want to show everything.
Right.
We don't want to do that.
Yeah, it was never a situation where it's like you have to pull some tricks out of the bag and show them now because you need to win this game. That was what last year was all about. This year, it was you've had the division locked up since November, and you're just kind of hanging out making sure no one gets hurt.
Yeah, especially how they've played the injury report too. I mean, guys were limited for 3 weeks and they weren't playing.
Yeah,
right. They were, and now you saw it. Yesterday's injury report. One guy did not practice in full Brandon Condrington. He didn't practice at all. Everyone else was a full participant, even with those with injuries. The only other person that missed was Jamarcus Ingram. That was due to a personal reason. Even Amari Cooper. I know there was a little bit of fear of like what's going on. He was back practicing in full. They are as healthy as they can be. They're as healthy as they have been going to the playoffs in years. And that's why I feel as good. They're playing really well. They're healthy. And I like how they match up with pretty much everyone in the AFC. Baltimore's run game does scare me. But if you can score on them, they've also proven time and time again in these years with Lamar that they kind of fold in the playoffs. So it's two failing storylines crashing into each other potentially in the division round. Somebody's going to change a narrative, and I feel good about the Bills this year. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on with us. Coming up at 11:30, Sal Capaccio will join the show. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt hang with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And real quick here before we hit our next timeout, let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start off this segment with Kevin on the line. Kevin, how are we doing today?
Hey, guys. I'm out here in Denver, but I'm a Western New York native, and I just got to tell you, the people here in Denver are off the chain. Yesterday, Brownie gave an interview to the Sports Talk Radio with this guy, Philip Lindsay, who played for the Broncos.
Zach
Bye, who claims to be from Western New York. Brownie got off the air, and they just trashed him. They trashed the Bills. They think that the Broncos are going to upset the Bills and that the only thing that they have to focus on is forcing Josh Allen to make mistakes. They forgot about James Cook. They forgot about Dalton Kincaid. They forgot about Matt Milano, and they forgot about the 12th man. And I just want to get everybody pumped up and fired up because this is not going to be a cakewalk, and the Bills need to make a statement here. And the last thing I'll leave you with, and then I'll hang up and listen, is the thing that really set me off and made me call 803-250 today was on the radio, another person said, I don't even think Buffalo Wings are from Buffalo. And that just made me say, I got to call somebody in Western New York and tell them how crazy the people are out here. And we got to put a stamp on the Broncos this weekend. Best of luck to everybody this weekend going out to Orchard Park. Go Bills. Let's bring this one home.
Kevin, man, thanks for the call. Broncos hate week, baby. It's back. It's
bulletin really, board material. Let's go. Really.
I think it is something, though, that like why that's my thing is if I'm a Broncos fan and look, they just broke their playoff drought. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I remember when the Bills did that and no, the Bills at that time did not have their franchise quarterback. Denver does. So there's probably a clear difference in feeling there. I remember though just being psyched that like the vibes were clearly changing.
Yeah.
That, you know, their first year of the head coach, first year of this new GM, boom, the drought's done. And it's like, okay, like awesome, like the monkey's off your back. Now we can kind of start progressing because it felt like every move for a few years was made in we got to get over that hump. It's kind of where the Sabres are now. They're not really building towards being a Stanley Cup champion. They're building more to just break the drought.
Right.
And that does end up happening. The Jets are there right now. You know, you can argue Denver's kind of gotten past that because they have their rookie quarterback. Now it's just pushing forward. But for me, it's like, I didn't care what happened against Jacksonville. I was like, cool. Part one is done. You know, next year we'll get there once we've got our rookie quarterback. We kind of like weren't totally there yet. Denver's not totally there yet. They have a great defense, but their offense is Cortland Sutton and Bo Nix, and that's it. You know, Marvin Mims, I guess, is kind of cool, but not really. I'm a little surprised that like they've got so much confidence going into this, especially you're a 9.5 to 8.5 point underdog, depending on like on the sports book that you're looking at. And you're going on the road. And again, I can't imagine they've ignored the statistics of the last time a rookie quarterback won on the road in the playoffs was 2012. Against another rookie quarterback. And the time before that was Mark Sanchez beating Carson Palmer, who was a good quarterback. I'd never say great. He was certainly not an MVP candidate, which is what Josh Allen is this year. So for me, it's just like, and then even look at their past few games. They're 2-2 since the bye in games where they could clinch the playoffs.
Yeah, and in games
they
where
were
they're
one in, or they were 1-2
in games where they're not playing great opponents either. Like if you take out that Denver game, they're 1-2. I'm sorry, take out the Kansas City game.
Yep.
But you take out that Kansas City game, they're 1-2, and they should have beaten both of the teams they lost to.
And those two games were both on the road. So that's another thing. You lost to the Chargers on the road. You lost to Cincinnati on the road.
Yeah.
Two teams who, the Chargers, are about a year ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. I would say the same thing for Denver. They're about a year ahead of schedule. Cincinnati is going to hang a banner because everyone was like, oh, you don't want to play them in the first round. You don't want to play them in the first round.
And also, too.
Their defense was atrocious. They fired a good defensive coordinator because they couldn't keep players. Didn't want to keep players.
Right.
So they fired a good defensive coordinator.
And then
you scored 24, and you had to have like a Hail Mary type play to keep you alive.
And you also, against Indianapolis, you won 31-13, but the game script would not tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bo Nix threw for 130 yards. His leading receiver had 32 yards. His defense put him in a good field position against a very bad team. Indianapolis is falling apart everywhere, outside and inside.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going well over there. So, yes, you went out there and you beat them like you should have, but it wasn't necessarily anything convincing offense-wise. Yeah, the defense was good, and that was kind of a little nerve-wracking. But again, you're playing against Joe Flacco and a team that's falling apart at the seams.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll keep hitting your calls here after a quick timeout. Sal Capaccio will join the show at 11:30. The Bills' first injury report came out yesterday. Only one player did not practice in full due to an injury, that being Brandon Codrington. Everyone else who was able to practice yesterday did so in full. Jamarcus Ingram did miss, though it was due to a personal reason. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.